The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Cressida Cowell has joined us in Studio 10. She is the author of How to Train Your Dragon. There was a 12-book series, which have sold over 8 million copies. 3 movies.
Oh, yeah.
1 Netflix series.
Yeah,
And that was on CBBC as well.
Yeah.
So hugely successful.
I know.
And now you're on the third of the Wizards of Once.
The Wizards of Once.
Not three times.
Not three
third
times.
Of the trilogy. Now, before we do anything else, I have to thank you for naming our dog.
Oh,
you named our dog.
Really? Yeah. Which Toothless or Haircup?
No.
No.
Yeah,
no.
No.
Okay, Stoic.
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm thinking out there.
Our
okay.
dog's name is Stanley.
Oh, that's fantastic
yes.
to know. Emily Brown.
Emily Brown's little rabbit.
Oh,
called Stanley.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes, and we had a vote in our house.
She's a character of some considerable splendidness, Emily.
She
Brown.
Is. She is.
She gets offered all the toys you could ever desire. That's a big bribe. Yeah. She says no.
By the cranky queen.
Yeah.
I've been recommending that book to so many people. It's such a brilliant book.
Oh, you sweetheart. Thank
yeah,
you.
It is such a... And you know, anyway, it's brilliant to have you here because of that and, of course, How to Train Your Dragon and all that. And I'm reading this to Tom, who's age 7, so we're only on about page 30.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But he's enjoying
because
it.
Because that's fantastic because I like them to be read aloud.
Do you? Yes.
Deliberately, which is why I give Toothless a bit of stammer and I give... You squeeze juice, the little sprite. The sprite in Wizards of Oz has a sort of a hissy lisp, and it's to bring it alive. It's to make it fun for the adult reading it aloud.
Can I thank you for all on behalf of all parents because it makes it easier when it's phonetically written? Because I'm not too good at accents and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but I can read. So if it is written phonetically, it helps me.
But the thing is, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, David Tennant reads these on tapes brilliantly, but your dad making a fool of himself, pretending to be Stoic the Vast of one of the characters. Or I deliberately often set out to make the dads cry.
Right.
Because if a book makes your dad cry or your mum laugh, it sends this really important message to the kid that books are powerful, magical things that can have the power to make your dad cry or your mum laugh.
Yeah.
You know. And
loads of things to talk to you about. The book, the success of How to Train Your Dragon, it been turned into a movie. And your childhood, I suppose, is a good place to start, isn't it? Let's start at the very beginning. and it has coloured your life in a huge way, as it does all our lives. But this island that you used to summer on...
It always sounds like I'm making it up.
Yes.
And I promise you I'm not. I grew up in London in a house without a garden because my dad's job was in London. But he was an environmentalist. He was chairman of the RSPB, which looks after birds. And after he retired, chairman of Kew Gardens, which looks after flowers. And a good friend of wonderful David Attenborough. You were talking about Greta Thunberg.
Was he in your house?
He's a friend of my dad's.
House,
you know,
okay,
so
look, wow.
He's very interested in the environment, and wilderness. And what that meant for us as a family in practical terms is that every year from when I was a baby, we would be dropped off on an uninhabited island off the west coast of Scotland, an island so small that when you stand on the top of it, you can see sea all around you. Nothing on the island. No supermarkets, no roads, no houses, no mobile phones back in the 1970s.
Did you camp there initially?
We camped initially, and we would be dropped off by a local boatman and picked up again 2 weeks later. Yeah.
So this
unbelievable experience for a kid.
It sort of kickstarted your imagination, did it?
Yeah, and they were crazy. What were they thinking? I mean, you know, no way of contacting the outside world, but it was incredible experience for a child. And then from when I was 9, my dad had a house built on the island, and then we spent the whole summer there. And he got a boat so you could catch fish to eat, but still, you know, this is the Isle of Burke. This is the Isle of Burke. And it was the first place the Vikings came to when they invaded as pirates, and then they stayed. And so there were real stories, you know, Viking stories.
Yes.
From the islands. And because there was no television on the island, my dad would, we'd read a lot. We'd read a lot. We'd make things up. It rained. It does rain in Scotland, a bit like an island. And my dad would tell us stories, Viking stories, and Vikings believed that dragons really existed. So that was the direct inspiration for How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Vikings in the movie version have Scottish accents.
That's why.
Oh, yes. Because,
that's why.
Because they live in the Isle of Burke.
Well, because it was inspired by Viking Scotland.
Yes.
And so when the publishers were looking for somebody to read it on audio, they suggested somebody who sounded like me. I think they suggested wonderful Hugh Laurie, who is a brilliant actor, but I was already heard it in Scottish because of Viking Scotland. And so that's David Tennant. We were lucky with David Tennant.
You're the children's laureate, and one of the things which I read about, which is a brilliant idea, and it ties into you starting to write as well, Free Writing Friday, this idea.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, just because I'm so glad you picked up on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is an idea where in schools that you have a copybook or whatever, and every Friday you're allowed time to just write a story, and you continue it every Friday, but it's not marked.
A special book where you can write whatever you want and the teacher can't mark it.
Yes.
So they could write stories, they could write games, it's pure creativity. Some space for them to write whatever they want, where the spelling doesn't matter, the handwriting doesn't matter. It's all about the ideas. I think that's so important for kids. I go into school saying this, just 15 minutes where they can just, an unmarked space. Because we need these children to be creative. You know, they need to know the rules, of how to write, how to read or whatever, but they need to learn to write for the joy of it. Yeah. They need to learn to be creative. You know,
Are you worried? When was the first time you went into a school as a writer? How many years ago?
20 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, so things have changed phenomenally since, haven't they?
Has it changed in Ireland?
Technology.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Well,
And have you noticed that it's more difficult to get children to read?
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, that's difficult because children are so smart. But reading takes a bit of an effort, yeah? I mean, you only have to watch an episode of The Simpsons to know how smart kids are. They want smart storytelling, but films and telly are beamed in magically to their heads, whereas books takes a bit more of an effort. Mm. So a book can very easily come to represent something that makes a kid feel stupid, even if they're not.
Right.
Even if they're not. And in my books, you know, Wizards once set in the Bronze Age, but Wish, who's one of the heroes, is dyslexic. And I did that very deliberately because I know how disheartening it is for a dyslexic kid. You know, it's not a race, but for a kid who's in that situation, they're so smart, but they're struggling to read or write.
And then
they've
been told by their parents and maybe their teachers as well that reading should be a joyous thing.
Yeah.
You'll never be bored if you read a book.
Yes, exactly.
All those things. It's not joyous at all, no.
But that's why I'm so keen for you to read aloud. I'm glad you are with your kid because then you can, kids are often much smarter than their reading ability allows them to access. And, I mean, I love films and television. I love them. I mean, I love the films that have been made out of my books, because they're wonderful films. But we need to get the kids reading as well. Mm. And because, this is what I'm running around saying, reading is magic because of the magical powers it brings out that film and telly are not as good as bringing out.
Like
intelligence, creativity, and empathy. Yeah. Intelligence is the words. Yeah, all of the words. I mean, films are all about music and wonderful. I mean, I love music, but words, intelligence, creativity. A book is partly what I write and partly what you imagine. Mm. Film is very bossy. It's very directional. Empathy.
This is the important one for me, I think.
This is the important one. Things on the film or a screen happen out there.
Yeah.
In a book, it's happening inside your head.
Yes.
You are that person. It's like walking around in somebody else's skin, to quote
Killer Mockingbird. You have to feel what they feel.
You have to feel what they
feel. See the world from their point of view.
Yeah. And so intelligence, creativity and empathy. If anything, we need children of the future to be even more intelligent, creative and empathetic. And, because some of the problems we're facing. I mean, and particularly in the UK where I don't know how it's like in Ireland, but we've been very focused on skills and less on creativity. And to quote Einstein, no problem can be solved with the same mindset that created it. We need children. Yeah.
That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah, that's why we need Greta Thunbergs.
And we need creative thinking.
Yeah.
We need creative
And when did you realise that writing was the thing you wanted to do? I know you illustrate your books as well, and they're gloriously illustrated. And I love, you know, you have white on black, which is a real eye catcher.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm only allowed that. I do colour if they'd let me.
Yes. I'd say even white and black's expensive. Is
yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Pushes
well,
up the cost.
Well, yeah, it's white and black, you know, it's quite nice to have been given that structure of it all being white and black. And it's amazing what you can do with...
But you have white out of black.
Yeah, white that's out of black. And yes, yeah, you've got that drama and the... And it's sort of... It's dramatic. You know, these are dramatic stories. It's extraordinary what you can do just with pencil and ink. And I mean, I use pencil because it's a very child-friendly sort of medium.
And do you still write in a shed? Is that where you write down the end
I
of the
do,
garden?
Yeah.
You do. And when words aren't coming out, do you just draw a picture? Is that the way you do it, or do you write everything and then draw the pictures?
That's interesting. If I'm trying to get a feel for what the character is like, I will often draw my way into it. Or if I'm trying to do a new place, I'll draw maps. I mean, a map is a fantastic way of finding your way into a landscape. I mean, and it makes an imaginary place feel like a real place. That's why you'll find so many maps at the beginning of books.
Yes, and didn't I read somewhere, or I saw a documentary with Maeve Binchy, and she used to plot out her books. She, like, if it was a fictitious place, wherever it was set, she'd draw out a map of the town and where all her characters lived.
Yeah, because you have to, it's making the lie feel real. Mm. I mean, you have to imagine it as a real, because human beings are incredibly good at time and space and things like that. And so in order to make it feel real, you know, Maeve would need to know how long it took to get from one character's house to another.
Yes, and if two characters would meet each other on the way to the shop, for example, or whatever.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's treating it like it's all real. You know, Stanley Kubrick, I think, did a map of that really spooky old hotel, you know, in The Shining.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes, yeah.
So it worked as a real place. So that the little kid, when he's going through the whole Kabuki Hotel on his little cart, you know, that's
very spooky,
scary
scene,
thing.
Yeah.
It worked, you know, as a real space. You know, so so we often draw maps and draw our way into spaces.
I would never be able to write fiction, but I've never heard it described
You've
like this before.
Because
I was watching a video you did, and you said, you know, writing fiction is like telling a really big lie. Yes.
A real stretcher of a lie. Yeah. The more detail you put into the lie, and the more you base it on a tiny grain of truth, the more it comes alive.
Yeah.
You said. And that goes for everything about writing. I mean, there's a posh word, research, which sounds so dull, but it, you know, is so interesting. Even when you're writing fantasy, I think research makes it feel real and gives you ideas for stories. So I'll do lots of research into real things, like discover amazing facts, like in Wizards of Once, people really did think that magic was allergic to iron. So they used to hang iron horseshoes.
And one of the characters who is Wish, who's a warrior.
Oh, yeah.
She has a magic iron. She's magic that works on iron. Isn't that her? That's her thing.
You're
that's
giving
her
superpower. It away.
Sorry.
It away.
Spoiler alert. Well, that was said in the first few pages. Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Don't worry. Yeah, she has the magic that works on iron, which is, that's what gave me the idea. I'll discover just an extraordinary fact about Vikings. Like, I don't know, this is probably made up, but it was, I discovered that Vikings trained cats so that when they were sword fighting an opponent, they could throw the cat at the opponent's head, because it's very, very difficult to sword fight somebody when a cat is attacking you. That may or may not be true, but it gave me an idea.
Well, it's true is that it is more difficult to fight somebody with a cat on your head.
That is definitely true.
Now, Vikings and How to Train Your Dragon, like, how exciting was it to see your books and all these characters you've created on the big screen and done so brilliantly?
I know. I mean, that is beyond your wildest dreams. You're just not expecting that to happen, I have to say. You're just pleased you're getting the book published to start off with. I mean, for a long time, I didn't think they were going to do it. You know, lots of books get optioned, but, you know, it doesn't go. And so it wasn't until they optioned it in about 2004, 2005, and wasn't until about 2009, I thought, I think they really might make this, right. this movie. And I've just been so lucky. Yeah. I mean, the producer of all three films, wonderful Bonnie Arnold, produced Toy Story 1. Mm-hmm. I mean, the director of all three films, director of Lilo and Stitch, you know, incredible sort of, and Lilo and Stitch was an amazingly inventive movie for Disney at the time. So these are really incredible people who brought a wonderful vision to the books. How much
input would you have now?
Now, people don't really understand this because they think that you must want to write the screenplay. Right. And I have always seen myself as a book writer. That is what I want to do. I think film is a different medium, and I was certainly not writing the books to be made into the movies. If I was, I wouldn't have written 12 of them. You know, and I think books are different things. My books are all about language, and they're all about idea. You know, there's a lot of ideas and work, you know. So, whereas film is a more visual medium. In the film, you want the hero to be able to ride on the back of the dragon from the very first movie, you know, because it's a movie.
Yes.
It's all about, so I knew that changes had to be made, and I was open to somebody coming in, as long as they were wonderful, with a creative vision for it. And so they'll say, they'll send me a script and I'll say what I think, and, you know, so that's, and I'm very close to the filmmakers, and I have been. But I'm not writing the film myself. I'm not the screenwriter.
But Hiccup's such a brilliant hero.
He's
flawed, and he's, you know, he has a disability, and then Toothless isn't the full dragon either.
It's true to the spirit of the books. This is what the important thing is, I think. What I'm trying to do with my books is write books that move you. So books that make you laugh, but also can make you cry, are wondrous, make you feel the wonder of the world, and have a new kind of a hero who solves problems not by punching them.
Which his dad would have done.
Which his dad would have done. But by creativity. Yeah. No, those three things I was talking about. Intelligence, creativity, and empathy.
It's a common story as well, I would imagine, where, probably not so much now, but in the past, it would have been where a son didn't live up to his dad's expectations, whether it be sport or whatever. And to see Hiccup then win over his dad, it's a beautiful thing.
Oh, thank you. It's a beautiful thing, and that's another true thing. I mean, I think, you know, that's a true thing that happens. I'm very interested in the relationship between parents and children, and I'm always exploring that in Wizards of Once. You'll know as well.
Yes, yeah.
Because often the parent is reading it with the kid, and it's just interesting to say. So I'm telling it, How to Train Your Dragon, from Stoic's point of view as well, the father whose son isn't quite what he expected, and I know as a parent how that can feel. So I'm that's an emotional thing, and I loved my father but wasn't a bit like him, and looking up at this person that I admired so much, but I just didn't feel I was going to be able to live up to. And, you know, that thing, he was that generation, I think a lot of people resonate with this, he was that old-fashioned idea of a man who doesn't talk much about his feelings. Yeah. You know, that I was this little chatty person, you can imagine, all emotions just very much on the surface. And I think that resonated for people. I think, you know, our idea of what a man ought to be, or what a boy ought to be, has changed.
Of course,
radically.
Yes. Hugely.
Hugely.
For the better.
2030. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, absolutely.
But your dad was an environmentalist.
Yeah.
So he'd be, following things. Is he still alive?
He died last year.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Oh, my wonderful, wonderful dad.
Oh.
What a one. What a wonderful man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like Greta Thunberg and what's happened currently with the, you know, climate change and the protests and...
Well, you see, you will notice on the front cover of Wizard Once, Not Three Times, Sycorax, the forests are on fire, and Sycorax has set fire to the forest. I mean, this takes place in the Bronze Age, so yes. I'm sure it's a total coincidence. But she has set fire to the forest, the Wild Woods, so that she can build her forts and her fields and her new modern world.
Right.
And completely coincidentally, in Brazil, the forests
the Amazon
are burning
forest,
even now.
Yeah. Would, so you hopeful, would you be hopeful? What age are your
and
children?
I think
what age
my,
are
age, my children are 20, 21, 19 and 16.
Right.
And I'm not surprised. I'm interested. I was listening to you talk earlier about, I'm not surprised that Greta, I mean, we have David at the other end, David Attenborough, at the
in
end
his
of
90s.
A long life speaking out. I'm not surprised that it's a child who's spearheading this, because one of the things, and one of the reasons writing for children is so wonderful and is one of the best things, is that children believe in the impossible. They believe in the impossible because they don't know the rules yet.
Yes, yeah.
And it's their belief in the impossible, I think, because I'm essentially a very hopeful person, it's their belief in the impossible that just might make it happen. Yeah?
Yeah,
so
it's sort of
turn away from the impossible. Mm. They think it's impossible, we can't do anything about it. But I'm with Greta, I'm with Einstein. You believe in the impossible. Knowledge, this is Einstein again, knowledge is limited, imagination encircles the world. It's the
give us your first Einstein quote again there.
Oh, which one? Knowledge limited. No problem can be solved with the same mindset that created it.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Isn't it?
It's a good one. It's a hopeful one.
Yeah.
We're relying on bringing out these children's creativity and inventiveness.
My son Sam's a huge fan of How to Train Your Dragon, and he's asking me, how did Cressida come up with the names of the dragons, like Night Fury and Monstrous Nightmare, etc.? Sam writes lots of comics too.
Oh, does he? Oh, keep going, Sam.
How do you come up with the names, Cressida?
Oh, yeah. Well, Night Fury, by the way, is one of the ones that the film company came up with. They came up with good things as well. Monstrous Nightmare is one of mine. Vikings really were called extraordinary. This is where you go back to research, giving you ideas. Really were called extraordinary names, like Magnus Barelegs.
Right.
And Ivar the Boneless.
Right.
Those are real Vikings,
yes. Yeah.
And so I suppose that gave me the idea of giving them names that sort of described, you know, so there's one of the characters, one of the Vikings in my ones are called Baggy Bum the Beer Belly, you know.
Right,
And so the Vikings are called, the dragons are called similarly very descriptive.
Yeah, colourful names. Now, you're on your way up to Easons in Dundrum.
I am.
To do a signing.
I am.
The Wizards of Once, Knock Three Times. It's the third book in the trilogy. And this has been optioned for... Where is it at? Is it going? Is it?
Well, it's DreamWorks, because they did such a wonderful job with How to Train Your Dragon. Yeah. So, yeah, they've been optioned.
So we'll see Wish and Zara on the big screen sometime soon.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Well, it's been a real pleasure meeting you and talking to you.
It's been so lovely.
Thanks,
Cressida.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
So, Easons in Dundrum, you're there from 4 o'clock for as long as it takes.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll sign anything you bring in.
Right, Thanks, Cressida. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.